Hey y'all, it's Rachel from Smarter Teaching, here to share a latte and give you all the tools you'll need to work smarter, not harder, in your classroom. Today we're going to talk about data cycles. Data cycles are crazy. Depending on your grade level and the subjects you teach and what school you're in, you're probably giving about 25 kids between 2 and 6 different assessments over a 2-week period of time, plus all the other teaching that you would normally do. Most math assessments are pretty cut and dry, and you can probably give them to your entire class at one time. But those ELA assessments can really drag. Today, I want to share 5 ways to make it through a data cycle without drinking all of the wine or throat punching a colleague. The first tip is to make a data cycle at a glance cover sheet. So this is a sheet that I would make that would go on the top of my clipboard for the whole data cycle. Nothing went on top of it. It's that important. If you only take one tip, take this one. This sheet would have a list of all of my students and all of the assessments we had to give, set up like a grid, like a table. It would have all the students' name down the left side and the assessments across the top. As students took assessments, I would check them off and maybe jot a quick note. If anyone came in to help give assessments, I could quickly see who was finished, who was in progress, who hadn't been started. If someone had a question about a student's assessment, I could really quickly look at this and tell them that they were finished and what their levels were, how long it took them. It saves so much time. You don't have to hold any information in your head. It's all on this data cycle cover sheet. It probably took me 5 minutes to make the very first time I ever did it. And after that, and every subsequent data cycle, it probably took 2 minutes to either just change students' names or change some of the assessments or change the header that said which data cycle it is. It is totally worth your time investment. It will absolutely save you time, and it will help keep you sane just by giving you all of this information about your assessments and your data cycle at one glance without having to look anywhere else. In fact, I think this is so important that I shared the template as a over on my blog. You can find it at rachelwilser.com/blog. It's in the most recent blog post. You can click the link to download it from my Google Drive. So it will probably take you about 2 minutes to just add in your kids' names and whatever assessments you have during this data cycle. My second tip is to climb the mountain first. And what I mean here is to start with your hardest assessments. The tendency is to push off the things that are hardest to the end, right? Pick the kid who you think will be one and done and kind of ease into your data cycle. But I would really encourage you to get the hardest pieces, the hardest assessments out of the way first. So kids who are slow readers, kids who will probably need to go through multiple assessments to find their right level. Students who just don't like assessments and kind of give you some pushback. If you get the trickiest pieces out of the way first, when your data cycle starts and you're feeling fresh about it, it can really make the rest of your assessments and the rest of your time feel more manageable by getting those pieces out of the way first instead of waiting until the very end. I'd also encourage you here, if you have students with spotty attendance, to pull them when they're there, not to push them off, regardless of how they are with assessments, because I think that everyone has had a time where they've gotten kind of hosed on in students' data because they're not there. So if you have students with spotty attendance, when they're there, pull them. Don't, no matter what else you had planned in that, for that assessment check that day. My third tip is to assess strategically. While we wish that assessments didn't really affect us as much as they do, it's an unfortunate part of teaching right now. So what I mean here really is accommodate your students as much as you can. If you have a student who you know doesn't have a lot of food at home, they're probably not eating breakfast, wait until after lunch to teach them or to assess them when they've had something to eat. If you have students with a lot of energy, wait until after PE or after recess to assess them when they've had some time to get out their physical energy. If you have students who are really sensitive to noise, try to test them in an empty room, not necessarily during workstations time when all the other your other students are in the class working at the same time. Be as strategic as you can with your assessments. If you have a student who maybe performs better for a different teacher, ask a different teacher to assess that student. Our reading coach would pull students for assessments, and our grade level special ed teacher would also pull students for assessments. So if you think that someone else might have a better chance of the kid, you could also ask another teacher, another adult to assess students. Like I said, I mean, you don't want to like skew your assessments, but I think that you definitely want to have all as many cards in your favor as you can. And so I think that it's worth your time to assess strategically. And my fourth tip is use your time wisely, which is the sibling of tip three. So in addition to assessing strategically, you should use your time wisely. And here what I mean is think about your personal preferences and how you would prefer to assess. So I always liked to front load my data cycle and do as much as I could right from the get-go so that I'm not scrambling to finish it in the last few days. I also personally would rather pool students during my free time throughout our data cycle to get those assessments finished. If you're a morning person, maybe you want to focus your assessments in the morning. If you are, if you need some time to wake up in the morning, maybe you want to only do assessments after 10 or 10:30 in the morning, maybe. You should think about what makes sense for you and use your time as wisely as you can to get your assessments finished. I usually aimed to do about 3 reading assessments a day, like start to finish. So on days where I knew I was going to maybe be assessing students who were going to take a while, I might not get 3 students finished, but I prefer to start and finish kids in the same day. So not to have to keep carrying them over day to day because their assessments are taking a long time. I'd rather try and finish them all in one day. That's not always feasible for a variety of reasons, but that's my personal preference. Maybe that's not yours. Maybe you like to do one assessment with a student, and if that's not right, you want to wait another day. That's okay. But those are things that you should think about. What do you prefer? What makes your data cycle easier for you? What makes it feel like less of a fight for yourself? And then my last tip for your data cycle is to make sure you loop back and use the data. So you just spent all of this time out of your classroom, out of your instruction to assess your students, but it's important to then turn around and use that information, right? So what are you learning from this data? What's it telling you? Maybe you have students you notice who across different reading levels are missing one skill. Put them into a strategy group and they can work on it together. Maybe you have students who haven't been able to move up a level because of their fluency. Those students could Betty read, especially if they're students who are reading at or above grade level, but just having a hard time with fluency. You can pair them with students who are below grade level for Betty reading. It takes a lot of time to collect data. And if once we have it, we definitely want to make sure that we're using it. So once you have all of this data collected, for math too, you want to look for trends. Do you have a group of kids who's all having a hard time passing or showing proficiency in one anchor standard? Maybe you can pool them as a small group. Do you have is maybe your whole class having a struggle with one thing? That's a sign to go back and reteach that one thing. It's just important once we spend all of this time collecting data, and yes, you have to turn it into your administrators and sometimes coaches as well, but it's important to look at it and reflect on it and let it help you make your small group plans and sometimes your whole group plans as well, not just collect it and bury it and submit it and let it get buried in a pile. I hope you all found these tips to be helpful. If you have other teacher hacks that we didn't talk about here that make your data cycle less stressful, you can feel free to share them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/smarterteaching, one word. Until next time, teachers, hope your coffee is strong and your students are sweet.